Good morning. It's fun to, and it's good to hear so many praying and lifting up needs of each other. And I'm glad that, let's see, where did Karen go? Karen and John, they were here. Wasn't Karen here? There you are. Last week we were praying for you, and we're glad you're back. Yeah, praise God. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We're returning to Ephesians to kind of wrap this up. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, verse 5 through 9. And so we'll kind of get started that direction. I kind of resonate with what Jeanette was praying just now. You know, to be able to see God and see what He's been doing in our lives and to really think on Him. This title of the sermon, As Unto Christ, has the idea of living unto Christ. As unto Him we live. And I know that's obvious, but there are some really practical ways that God calls us to live with Him. Really practical ways that God calls us to live along the way. We are Christians, but that needs to translate into our everyday life. It needs to translate into our marriage. It needs to translate into how we raise our kids. It needs to translate into how we parent. It needs to translate in how we work with others and how we are an employee or how we are an employer. And we live unto Christ. And so there are two words there, believe and behave. And we know that we could not behave like Christ's followers unless the Holy Spirit was in us, right? The Holy Spirit has come to reside, to indwell us, and so we have the Holy Spirit in us. If you've received Christ as your Savior, God is in you, God the Holy Spirit, and He will help you. You believe, and now there's a behave part. Under the bottom it says we have a new spirit to reflect Christ. So we have a new spirit inside so that when people see us, we reflect Christ that is in us. I don't know how many times I have been driving along and wished I had a camera. Have you ever been driving somewhere or walking somewhere and thought, oh, I wish I had my camera. That is a beautiful scene, beautiful picture, and you might miss it. One of the scenes that I love, every Wednesday, we drive over to Dan Daly's for Bible study. And when we pass D'Agostini Pond, if it's really a calm day, you can look over and there's kind of that old barn sitting over there. And if you're there right at the right time, there's the sun that's coming up and the water's crystal clear and calm, and you can see the reflection in the water. So you have the barn on the bank and then you have the barn reflected in the water. Perfect reflection. God has made us and called us to be a reflection of Him. It says that we are to be imitators of God, that we are to reflect who He is. So He has come to indwell us, and now He wants us to be able to reflect Him. And it's hard, right? It's hard to be like Jesus, but He wants us to reflect the Holy Spirit and the God qualities that He is building in us in our marriage, and in our family, in our relationship with our children. He wants our children to begin to reflect that as they obey their parents. And then He wants that to be reflected too in the slave and master relationship, in the boss and the hired servant, the employee and employer relationship. And then the last part of this passage says, and the hirer, the master, needs to reflect those same qualities onto his employees. And so we're going to see that. We're going to kind of try to break it down a little bit. This next slide is the scripture that we're going to base what we're talking about today on. And before I read the scripture, let me pray. Our Father, we thank You that You have miraculously saved us. Lord, You have forgiven us all our sin. The consequence of sin, which is hell, has been taken away if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then You have placed in us the Holy Spirit to be able to live to imitate God. As Ephesians 5 says, we to imitate God, to reflect God in our world. And then you've called us to be ambassadors, people that represent you, reflections of you in a dark and needy and unfair world. And so, God, you have called us to be 180 degrees, walking a different direction from the world. Help us to see that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage in Ephesians 6, it says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh." And it's just what it says. It's not only the idea of slave and master, which was common in this day when Paul was writing, but it also has the idea of being a hireling, that it could be someone hired. So it's not just slaves and masters, but it's employers and employees and so on. Bondservants, be obedient. That's a challenging word. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. So in this human relationship, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And so in the very first slide, I said, as unto Christ. The Bible says, obey and serve as unto Christ. So when you are working for your boss, you are working for Christ. No matter how your boss behaves, the effort of your soul, the reward is going to be from God, not from your master. You may get a paycheck, you may get an attaboy, you may not. But the true reward is going to come from God, because God honors your faithful service in this relationship. That's what he says. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, not just when the boss shows up, not just when you think the heat is on, but all the time you are serving Christ. And so not as men pleasers, not just to get a pat on the back, not just to, you know, it's nice to be appreciated, but that's not the goal. The goal is that you wouldn't just step up. Well, here comes the boss. Get busy, you know. We have to just remember that we are called to serve Christ. See, what's going to happen is as we reflect Christ in this relationship, people will recognize it. Somewhere, sometime, it's not only giving honor and glory to God that you're doing that, but it is going to be a testimony amongst the other people around you. Even if they completely act like they're ignoring you, they don't see what you're doing, they may even be dissing you, they may be putting you down, the truth is, you are a reflection of Christ in that relationship. And that's a faith belief. You may say, well, you don't know my boss. Well, I may not. But this doesn't have to do with your boss. It has to do with God and what he promises to those who will believe him and do these kinds of things. It goes on, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. So now the whole relationship has changed. You're not an employee of your employer. Now you are a bondservant of Christ in that area of work, reflecting Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. That's what he's calling us to. So you think about your relationship with the people you work with or work for, and you just remember that you are Christ's, and he is working through you, and what you are doing is giving glory and honor to him, no matter how you're appreciated or not by the people that you work for. Let's continue. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. That's a great promise. That whatever good anyone does, that good work, that good integrity, that honesty, that hard work ethic, whatever good anyone does, he will receive your benefit, your reward from who? Not in the paycheck. It's going to come from God. It's going to come from God, whether he is a slave or free. And, he says, Paul says, and you masters. So now that you that are bosses or serve in a leadership role, now you masters do the same things to them. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master, who is in heaven, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You know, he's watching. And so there's this responsibility that employers have, especially Christian employers. And this applies to Christian employers. This is not talking about unbelieving employers. It's talking about Christian employers. You have that responsibility because all of us are bondservants of Christ, whether you're a master or you're a slave, whether you're an employee or an employer. If you belong to Christ, then he's the master that we're all bond slaves of. Now, that was just the introduction page and the scripture. So we live to reflect Christ. So I decided to be kind of corny today, and I went and found a mirror. We've done this before. But I just want you to see, okay, here you are, right? Look at yourself. You can wave at yourself. Here we are. And we are to be reflections of Christ. And, you know, it is a very practical thing that God calls us to. We are all responsible. Now, some of you have to look at yourselves all through this sermon here. I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. Our service is as unto the Lord. Remember that scripture Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we live to reflect Christ. We do this by understanding three things that I'm going to point to. First of all, who God is, who we are, and how we are empowered to live. And I'm going to go off my notes on the screen, kind of jump back and forth. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, we have the fact that God is these things. He is eternal. He is the creator. He is the triune God. He is holy. He is a sovereign God. His will is done. He's our Redeemer, our Savior, and he's full of grace and truth. And we have to have an understanding of who God is. Secondly, yes.
He's our Father up in heaven, our kingdom come, our will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. So he is our God. And secondly, who we are. In Ephesians 1, verse 7 and following, what it talks about is who we were and who we are. Let me just read a couple of words from there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Everybody here knows that forgiveness of sins is part of the Christian message. But what does it mean when you slow down and think about the fact that God has forgiven you all your sin, all the consequences for your sin? I think it really, it's a place of, we have to just contemplate the magnitude of what that really means, that we are redeemed, that God has forgiven us. The who we are is that God has forgiven us, then God has indwelled us. He's come to live inside us. Why did he do that? Why does God want to live inside of you? What purpose does God have for you on this planet? We are not just a second thought to God. We are not a trivial thing to God. God has called us to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and he has called us to reflect him, because we live where? We live in a world that you just prayed for. We live under a political system that you just prayed for. We live in a world that is filled with treachery and darkness. And God has called us who he is. He is the creator, the redeemer, eternal, holy. Who we are the redeemed and the forgiven, that God has cleansed us and filled us so that we would reflect him. And then the last part of that is that we are empowered to live for him, to reflect him. Let's go to the next slide. So I would like to, in the midst of all this, kind of stop and go back. For some months, we were teaching out of the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, we have this picture of who God is and who we are and how God's called us to live. It's all throughout the book of Ephesians. But when speaking about the church in Ephesus, Paul, in the 20th chapter of Acts, he's on a missionary journey. And he goes back to the people of Ephesus. Okay, so let's just put it in our context. God sends a reminder back to the church at Somerset. The word has already been preached. I thank God that for 43 years, Pastor Rob preached the word of God to us. I got to join him along the way, and the word has been preached. But there are times where we need reminders, and Paul is on this third missionary journey. It says in the scripture, for some reason, he had it in his heart, he didn't want to stop in Asia, and that's where Ephesus was. So he went a little bit further, from what I understand, to Miletus, and he stopped there, and then he said, I'm going to call for the leaders, the elders of Ephesus, to come up. I want to talk to you guys. That's what he did. So he called the elders of Ephesus up to Miletus, and these are the words that Paul said to them. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. So can I just point out to you the drastic change that happened in Paul's life? You remember the old Paul, how he lived. You remember how dramatically he was saved, and he went from living for self and his religious convictions to living and following Christ. He gave it all up for Christ. He gave up all of his prestige, and he started following Christ. He said, and Paul says, you know how I lived among you. You guys watched my life. You heard my testimony. You know there is a dramatic change in someone's life when Christ comes in. I would like for us to see that. There was a dramatic change in your life when Christ came in to your life. Now Paul's saying, so live like it. Sorry to be so harsh, but that's what he's saying to the people of Ephesus. Okay, now live like it. There's been a dramatic change. Remember who you are. By the way, that's my favorite line out of the Lion King movie. Right, when Simba forgot who he was, and he was distraught and he was misguided and confused in his life, and this little monkey whacks him on the head, and then after that, you know, and the wise words are, remember who you are. It's more like, remember who you are. I think we need to remember who we are. We need to remember who we are in Christ. And so he says, and when, verse 18, when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you. I don't know if Paul laughed. He's a pretty serious guy. He probably had some humor mixed in there. But I'll tell you, he was all about Christ. All about Christ. Serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials. And by the way, that's what it is to live for Christ. It is a humble walk. It's saying, God, you are the sovereign. I want your will in my life. And it comes with trials. And it comes with crisis and temptation. And what God wants us to do is trust him and follow him. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Can I just say that in verse 19 and 20, Paul is at least referring to what he wrote the people in the book of Ephesians, in the letter of Ephesus. He wrote these words about husbands, love your wives, and wives, be submissive to your husbands. And he wrote, children, obey your parents. And he wrote, bond slaves, obey your masters with sincerity from the heart. He wrote these words, and he was telling Christian people how to live, followers of Christ, how to live. Now, let me say to you that the world is not called to live the way we're called to live. And the world's thoughts will confuse your thoughts if you mix the world's thoughts in with God's thoughts. These are God's ways. These are the ways he has called me and you as Christian followers to live. It doesn't make any sense to serve an unfair boss with all your heart in the world, right? The world says, stand up for your rights. Get what you should get. And, you know, maybe you think about that, and maybe if you feel like you're in an unfair situation, you should quit. Go find somebody at someplace else you can work. But what the faithful way to live is, God, you're my God. You're my boss. I'm living to please you. I will follow you, and I will please you. And so Paul has written all of these words in Ephesians, and we're going to jump back to that. And he says, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. 21 is basic salvation. You need to repent and you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let's go on to the next slide. He says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me. And that was coming up for Paul as he's talking about to the Ephesian leaders. He's saying, guys, I'm going to Jerusalem. And I may be bound, in fact, I may be chained, I may be put to death. But you know what? I will walk and serve and reflect Christ as I go. That's what we're called to do, to walk and serve and reflect Christ as we go. Verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. And that was a personal message that the Apostle Paul had, that the Holy Spirit had given him, that in his future, when he went to stand before in Rome, that he would be chained, he would be imprisoned, and this was coming for him. By the way, I just want to say out loud that our brother Marcelo, many, many years ago, this was kind of his life thought. I know that chains await me, but I will reflect Christ. And keep praying for Marcelo and all the rest of our missionaries. And then verse 24, but none of these things moved me. What does that mean? None of these things dissuaded me from the cause that I have to live for Christ. I am not going to be waylaid. I am not going to get off track. I'm going to keep living for Christ. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. That'd be a good thing to put on your headstone, you know? Finished my race with joy. That's what Paul said. And the ministry which I received from the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was his goal, testify of the grace of God to as many people as he could. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. And that's kind of a historic place. Paul was leaving. He wasn't coming back. And there was a lot of sadness at that point. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, let me just finish it. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So we are responsible to teach the whole counsel of God's word, to do it in context so that it's not just taking a thought from Scripture and just teaching that one thing, but looking at the whole life, the whole context of how the teaching comes across. Okay? And so he says, I have not been hesitant to teach you the whole counsel of God's word. I will not be dissuaded. And he says to the Ephesian leaders, now go back to the church. Remind them why we're here. And keep that Ephesian church on track, serving the gospel of Christ with every ounce of strength that you have. It's really a wonderful challenge that Paul has given to the guys at Ephesus. Let's go to the next slide, Mike. Yeah, actually, the last part of the scripture says, you know why you better do this? Because. Know this. That's good. We should all be asking that question, Shannon. Thank you. Shauna. For I know this, that after my departure, look what's going to happen. Savage wolves are going to come into the church. Not only that, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So we have to be careful that savage wolves, that means people who are teaching heresy or philosophy or opinion, are going to come into the church and they're going to not allow us to see the truth of God's word. We just need to be clear about what we understand in Scripture. We need to be clear about what we teach. We need to trust God when He calls us to do something. From among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember. 3 years, I did not cease to warn you night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Let me just summarize that. So he says, watch and remember, warn everyone night and day. He says, I'm leaving, I'm commending you to God. By the way, if I had a heart attack today and died, stand up and preach the word of God. You know, and hopefully the next guy will do it much better than I do. But stand up and preach the word of God. Stay true to the word. Stay true to the word in your own soul and in the mission of this church. Paul says, he says, savage wolves, even from among you will come in. And God says, just stick to the word. It's really not hard to understand. The only problem is you have to take it by faith, not by logic or reason. Not that it doesn't work out logically and there aren't reasonable things, but it is a walk of faith. So you go back to this relationship, and let's see what the next slide has. So, you know, Paul said, he was just the reminder, I've been crucified with Christ now. Nevertheless, it's not I who live, but Christ who's living in me. Let's go to the next slide. Christ's workmanship to live for him on the job. Ephesians 2:10 says, so we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Next slide, please. So, the redeemed live as unto Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God, dear children. 5:2 says, walk in love. 5:8 says, walk as children of light. There's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, a life acceptable to the Lord. And verse 15, walk in wisdom, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next one, please. So where do we live like this? And this is the part that I just don't want us to miss. Where do we live like this? Where's the petri dish that we live in? Where is the place that we get to practice all this stuff? Right here. Right here. Right here in our marriages, right here in our family, right here on the job. This is where we get to practice our faith. So in what relationships are we to live reflecting Christ in our marriage? Loving and respecting. These are past things in Ephesians we've talked about. As believing children, obeying their parents. As parents, loving, training our children to serve, to surrender, to sacrifice for the Christ life. We talked about fathers being an example of God's love and grace and redemption and not exasperating your children, which we laughed about because I've exasperated mine through the years. As bondservants, servants, employees, people under a boss or a master. And then as masters, we do this, treating our servants, our hirelings, or employees as Christ would. Because we too are servants, serving our heavenly master. Our master loves, extends grace, cares for, gave himself for us. So too we, reflecting Christ, live to please him. So, as unto Christ, we believe and behave. I just have a couple of thoughts to kind of wrap this up, and then Kate and Mike, if you would come. You could come now if you'd like. And I'd like to go back to my notes here for just a minute. So, Paul has said to us, and I'm just kind of rambling some thoughts together here at the end. We live in unfair circumstances. You've had bosses that you don't agree with. You may have a boss that you don't agree with. You may be a hired person who feels like the environment's not right. The pay is not fair, and just go on and on, whatever it is. Paul wants us to remember that in all these relationships, we trust him, we live for him, we live to please him, knowing that our reward is from him. Now, so we trust who God is and what he's done in our lives. We know that we're called to reflect him in our lives. We know that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to make that possible. Now, kind of where the rubber meets the road, you remember that song that Kate led us in a minute ago? It said, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." What it takes is a heart of humility. I mean, you may say to yourself, I do not want to go back to this job. I don't want to work for these people. And God may say to you, I have you there for a purpose. I have you there for a purpose, and it's so that you will reflect me in your job market, in your job scene. There may be times to quit. That's okay. God's going to move you on, but he wants us to have an attitude of living for him. So in our marriages, we serve our spouse because we're serving Christ. We teach our children to be obedient because we want them to understand what it means to humbly serve Christ. And I think we as parents learn something too along the way. And in this situation of bondservants and masters, remember that we have the same heavenly master. So as an employer, serve your employees as Christ would. Care for them. As an employee, serve as unto the Lord, giving praise and honor to him. Let me just bounce back to that last thought. Paul said, I will not be dissuaded from the call on my life. Paul had a heavenly perspective. Sometimes in this world, we get so caught up in the unfairness that we lose our heavenly perspective. Paul said, I will not be dissuaded. I will live this way, reflecting Christ, till I breathe my last. That is the most important. And that is what Paul was calling the elders of Ephesus to do, to go back and say to the people, remember what I've taught you, to put your faith and trust in the living God, and reflect him in your life and relationships that you live in today. So let's let God speak to us through the songs, and we'll pray. Can you stand with me, please? Thank you. Amen. Yeah, I agree with that clap. Yeah, good. I didn't see, and Kate had this song at the last, and it says, "So now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And that's what we've just been singing about, you know, and when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, an inheritance that God has set you apart for, sanctified you and made you ready. God, we thank you. Help us in our relationships here to humbly serve you, to serve by serving one another, by serving our families, by serving our husband or our wife, by serving our children, by being good and a blessing to our employers in the way that we serve and live, knowing that the reward is coming from you. In the meantime, there are some temporary rewards that we get, but God, thank you that what we're really working for, what we're living for, and what we're empowered to live for is to please you in these relationships so that you will be reflected. God, we commit one another to you. We thank you that we have a week ahead of us to live for you. Help us, Lord, to pray for one another. Help us, Lord, to seek you in our decisions and the directions that we go. We love you, and we thank you for placing us here in this family. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.